What's good, everybody? It's your boy, Sway Max Sr., here to give a quick breakdown of UFC 277. We have 13 fights, I believe. As far as betting goes, some pretty good odds as far as, you know, we don't have too many big favorites. Got some pretty good dogs that we can bet on. There's been some line movement. So let's go ahead and break things down real quick. So the first fight we have is going to be Orion Kosuke going up against Blood Diamond. For those who don't know this guy, Blood Diamond, this is, I think, only his second fight in the UFC. You know, he's training with like Kai Car France and all those guys out there, and Izzy and Volk and all those guys. So he's got a good camp. But to be honest, he's pretty green. He got dominated his first fight. And he's kind of going up against, I wouldn't say someone with the same caliber, but somebody who has the ability to kind of take him down in Orion Kosuke. Kosuke is 8,800 on DraftKings, and Blood Diamond's coming back at 7,400. I believe Kosuke is currently like the minus 207 favorite. He also missed weight, so he's going to be a little bit heavier coming into the fight. So honestly, that's just going to help his takedown game and his ability to control him on the mat. At 8,800 and being the first fight of the night, I think he'll be pretty popular, but for good reason. I think he could put up a big score here if he's able to get him out in the first round. If this does go past the first round, though, I think we'll have some issues as far as Kosuke being able to kind of stay in the fight, not get tired real quick. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm going to go ahead and take Kosuke here at 8,800. I'll have a little bit of him. Next up, we have Ior Pretoria going up against Nikolai Negramanu. 7,800 for Nikolai, and Ior is coming back at 8,400. This is a light heavyweight fight. I believe we have they flipped a little bit. Right now, it's kind of still going back and forth, but Ior is the plus 102 dog, and Nikolai is coming back at the minus 120 favorite. Now, that's changed a little bit since the fights were announced. But, yeah, I think this is going to be a good fight. I think Nikolai is probably going to go ahead and get this done here at 7,800. No need to talk about it too much. I think he'll be popular as well. He'll be one of the more popular dogs. Let me see if I can get a quick look at my projections here to tell you as far as ownership projections. You know, I think we'll probably see him at about 25% owned, you know, something about there, 22 to 25. So yeah, I mean, he's going to carry a lot of ownership as far as I'm concerned for being that cheap. So yeah, you definitely want to have some of him. On the flip side though, I think Ior is probably only live for like a submission as far as putting up a high score here or being able to just to take him down over and over, which he's not really known as like a relentless wrestler. So my money's going to be on Nikolai here. I'll probably have a small bet on him as well. But yeah, this is a good fight to watch. Next up, we have Jeon Kim going up against Jocelyn Edwards. Edwards missed weight. She was one of the last to weigh in, and yeah, ended up missing weight. So that's not a good look, especially when I do think that this is probably going to go three rounds. They're probably going to stand up and bang against each other. However, I do think Edwards is just going to be bigger in there. I know they both have decent reach, but I think Jocelyn's going to be able just to kind of fight longer in there. I believe she's going to be the faster fighter and get off more punches. But again, if she had a bad weight cut and she's going in there either not healthy or not, you know, or is not going to have the gas tank to go three hard rounds, Jeon Kim at 7,900 is an interesting dog here at plus 106 and also a 7,900 on DraftKings. So I'll actually have a little bit of both of them. But I do think Jocelyn gets this done. But they're both real cheap, 8,300, 7,900. You know, if for some reason this does finish earlier, they put up a bunch of significant strikes or something like that, we could see a decent score here. But I won't have a lot just because I don't know if this fight's going to put up a lot of DraftKings points. Next, we have Adam Fugat going up against Michael Morales. Not much to break down here. Michael Morales is the most expensive fighter on the card, I believe. Let me take a look real quick. Yep, most expensive fighter on the card at 9,500. I believe has the biggest odds on the card as well, at like minus 600 or something like that, minus 654. So, yeah, get him in as much as you can. But, you know, with these high-priced guys, if they don't put up over 100 and 120 or so, you know, you might be doing yourself a disservice. But I think he's probably going to go out there and get this guy out of here early. Adam's coming in. Yeah, he was a late replacement as well, so he's coming in on short notice. So, yeah, he should be able to get this done pretty quickly. Next up, we have Jakar Close going up against Rafa Garcia. good fight here. Close is 9,100. Rafa Garcia is 7,100. Close is around the minus 200 favorite. I just am not going to be paying 9,100 for Jakar Close. I do think this is going to be a good fight and a fight that could possibly end early, but 9,100 is a little too expensive for me. You know, if you just even wanted to like look at his logs and stuff like that, yeah, he had 134 in his last fight. But I mean, he threw a bunch of significant strikes, had to have a, yeah, he had two or three takedowns in that fight as well. That's the most points he's ever put up. He was in a big spot as well. He was 9,400 back then. But I mean, he put up a big score. So if you're log watching, you know, I mean, you know, he might be somewhat owned. Let me take a look and see what my ownership has him here. Let's see. Yeah, I don't think he's going to be very high owned either. So for that reason, I mean, if you wanted to maybe have about 15 to 20% of them to kind of be contrarian, I could see that. But yeah, I'm not going to be too heavy on him and hope he just doesn't put up a big score and hope this is kind of a three-round war. Next up, we have Dontell Mays going up against Hamdi Abdualib. Another good fight here, heavyweight fight. Not much to break down here either. Dontell Mays should be able to get this done. He's pretty cheap at 8,500. Hamdi is 7,700. This is going to be his first fight in the UFC. Big boy, but they're both big boys. And, you know, basically his only path to victory is going to be to, as far as I'm concerned, I could be wrong. But I think it's just going to be to take Dontell down and keep him down and possibly sub him out. But I think, you know, classic striker versus grappler here. And I think Dontell's probably going to be able to win the striking battle. And I actually have money on this ending early. So Mays is going to be the pick. Next up, we have Rafael Alves going up against Drew Dober. Another good fight here. Alves is live, you know, at 7,200, at only plus 150. Drew Dober minus 179. This fight could possibly end early. I think that's how either one of these guys are going to score. But if you want to go the Alves way at 7,200, he doesn't necessarily need a finish. Any win could possibly put him in the optimal lineup because he's going to be so cheap. I believe he'll be the third cheapest fighter on the card. Yeah, I think he'll be the third cheapest fighter on the card. So if you can get 60, 70, 80 out of him, more than likely he'll be optimal. All right, and next up we have Alex Morano going up against Matthew Smelsberger. Another good fight here, 8,600 for Smelsberger, Morano 7,600. I'm more interested in this fight as far as a betting perspective because the line is relatively close on both. Alex Morano is tough, man. So, I mean, I don't see Smelsberger being able to get him out of here. I do think he'll carry about a 25 to 26% ownership because of that price tag. You know, he puts up 100, gets some takedowns and stuff like that. He'll definitely pay off that price tag. But this is more interesting to me as far as betting. And as far as a betting perspective, I'll probably go ahead and take a shot on Smelsberger here. But Morano's tough, man. You know, and it's kind of – like, you know, his last fight, I honestly thought that, you know, Mickey Gall was looking good, you know. I thought he might give him a little bit of problems, but he went out there and put a decision win on Mickey Gall. He's won three out of his last four, had a KO against Cerrone, but, I mean, you know. But the win against David Zawada was pretty good, too. Looks like his last loss, unless I'm looking at something wrong, was against Anthony Pettis. And that was back in 2020. So, I mean, can't blame him for that. But yeah. Normally doesn't put up a whole lot of points unless he gets a knockout, and I don't see a knockout here. But, again, he's so cheap at 7,600. You don't necessarily need a knockout. Any win would and should put you in the money. All right, next up we have Anthony Smith going up against Magomed Ankalaev. This one is pretty one-sided, it appears. Anthony Smith's been saying all week that Magomed has never been in, like, an actual fight in his life. You know, he's been in a lot of competitions. But he's never been in, like, an actual fight, in a dog fight. So that's what he's saying he's going to give him. Magomed, though, you know, at 9,400, it's tough to pay that price tag for him because he just does not throw a lot of volume. You know, I mean, he's had a couple wins over 100, both against Ian Kutabala. But, those are both knockouts. You know, one was kind of fluky and the other one, you know, wasn't. So it's just tough to pay 9,400 for him, and you know that you're probably going to get a three-round fight where he'll put up about 70 to 80 points. You know, like, if he does not get over 100, he is not going to pay off that price tag. And I just, don't see him. I mean, you know, Anthony Smith is a tough guy. You know, he's got pretty good takedown defense. I just don't see him being able to smash that value there. But I'll have a little bit of shares. But I, as far as a betting perspective, either I wouldn't pay minus 585 for him. All right, next up we have Alex Perez versus Alexandra Pantoja. Pantoja is 8,700. Perez is coming back at 7,500. This is a close fight, closer than those price tags on DraftKings appear. Plus 156 for Perez currently, and Pantoja's coming back at about minus 180 or so, depending on where you look. Close fight. This is going to be a close fight. I do think it's going to be a war. I do think it's probably going to be a three-round war. And so for that reason, I do like Alex Perez at 7,500 as far as DraftKings is concerned. I actually like him as well on the betting line at plus 156. I don't think I'll be taking that shot personally. But when this guy wins, he's always putting up points. And at 7,500, if he can give us, I mean, the minimum he's scored is 86.74 points. If he can give us that at 7,500, and that wasn't a three-round decision win, you know, you'll take that again. Those are the dogs that you need that can put you in the money so that you can pay up for these heavy favorites, or for the, you know, the guys that you are pretty sure are going to win, you know, make some money that way. But you need some of these dogs in your lineup to be able to at least get you over that 50-60 hump. So yeah, Alex Perez is going to be my pick here. Next up, we have Derek Lewis going up against Sergey Pavlich. Great heavyweight fight here. Everybody knows Derek Lewis, the Black Beast. Sergey Pavlich, you know, is a young up-and-comer, as they say. But this guy, when he wins, he's scoring over 100. I think this will be the fight that will either make or break the night for me personally. Reason being is because they're both really cheap. Sergey is 8,200. Derek Lewis is 8K. If we get a first-round finish out of either one of these guys, they will be optimal. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If Derek Lewis goes out there and knocks him out in the first or in the second, either one of these guys would be optimal. If it goes three rounds, we're in trouble. So we got to hope for something early, and we got to hope for Derek Lewis to go out there and swing and bang and not to kind of, you know, paw for two rounds and then look for that knockout in the third round. I think Sergey's probably going to bring the fight to him, though, so I don't see that happening, but, you know, it's tough with these heavyweights sometimes. But Sergey's definitely going to be my pick here at 8,200. I also like him at minus 145. Don't mind the dog shot on Derek Lewis as well. Definitely don't mind that dog shot. And I do like the inside the distance prop as well. All right. And next up, we have Kai Kara France going up against Brandon Moreno. This is going to be for the flyweight interim title, five rounds, the rematch. I'm sure a lot of you guys have either seen the first fight or heard a lot of breakdowns by now, so won't go too much into it. I personally am going to kind of tend to go towards Kai Kara France at 7,300. I just think he's too cheap. I think this fight is a lot closer than both Vegas and DraftKings is kind of pricing it at. Vegas has him as like a plus 170 and Brandon Moreno around a minus 200, 212. And Brandon Moreno is 8,900. So again, I mean, you know, these title fights, especially when there's two of them, the scores can get tricky because people will stack them even in tournaments, which I can't stand. But, you know, if it goes five rounds and they both put up 60, 70 points, it's, you know, 70, 80 points, you know, and they're just throwing a bunch of significant strikes. You kind of just throw your hands up at that point. But I'm going to go ahead and take Kai Kara France here. I do believe Brandon Moreno is probably a little bit sharper right now. But he's been in some wars lately, man. Those wars with Davison Figueiredo. He switched camps, which kind of has me a little bit concerned as well. He's now with James Krause, which, you know, James Krause doesn't necessarily have a good resume as far as it's concerned in championship fights. Great coach, and I know he does have an overall good resume. But in championship fights, he cannot seem to get his fighters over that hump there. But this might be the time. But yeah, I'm going to take Kai Kara France here at 7,300. Okay. And in the main event, the one we're all waiting for, we have Juliana Pena going up against Amanda Nunes. I've watched this fight several times this week. I've watched all their interviews and all that kind of stuff, you know, because I think this fight is more mental than anything. As far as the physical aspect, I think we know that Amanda's going to be stronger. She's going to be bigger in there. I think she's probably going to come in on fight night plus 140, you know what I mean, as far as what she weighs, you know. Pena's probably still going to be around that bantamweight line. She came in just a little bit under, so I'm not sure how much weight she's going to be able to put on. But, you know, this fight basically, the conclusion I've came to is this fight needs to happen exactly how it happened last time, I believe, for Juliana Pena to win. She's going to have to withstand getting knocked down at least once or twice. She's going to have to withstand getting hit a bunch of times and getting hit hard and then being able to stand in the pocket, which I'm not sure she's going to be able to do again. If she is, and if she's able to withstand there, come that second, third round, I do believe Amanda will probably be in trouble. Depends on, you know, like I said, her mental. It's not hard to see that Amanda quit in that fight. I mean, she quit. That choke was not in. She probably, something happened before then, because as soon as she went to the ground, she gave her back up. She was looking for a way out. And I hate to say that, you know, I'm not a fighter, you know, but that's what the perception was, right? So in my opinion, I think Amanda needs to stay away from the ground game, honestly. She needs to stay away from the wrestling and not tire her arms out. She needs to stand her back up. If she can't get that, if she can't sink something in quick, if she can't get hooks in quick or something like that, I think she needs to let it go and stop the wrestling and stand back up and fight and strike. If she does that, I think she'll be able to win this fight. However, at 9,200, we will need her to finesse this in the first or second round to be able to do it. If not, and she's not able to take her down several times, I do think Juliana Pena at 7K is going to pay off that price tag more times than not. If this does not end early, she is going to pay off that price tag because she's going to throw significant strikes. She'll probably give you 50 or 60 points. And if she wins, and if she wins early, she's 100% going to be optimal. So this is basic. This is an all-in fight. It's no secret. You know, I'm probably going to be about, I might be 50-50, to be honest, because I don't have a heavy lean on Amanda. You know, I just don't like the way that she quit in that first fight. She kind of a little bit seems like she's on vacation a little bit, going to the zoo and doing stuff like that, you know, so I'm not exactly how sure, you know, her mind is right now as far as if she gets some adversity, what she's going to do, you know, but she says she was hurt in that last fight and, you know, and this and that. So we'll see, you know, but I do think more than likely I'm probably going to be about 50-50, maybe 60-40 on Amanda. But yeah, I do want a lot of this fight when the time comes, because I want to be able to push over the hump. All right, guys, 17 minutes. Hopefully you guys have a chance to listen. It's your boy, Sway Max Sr., UFC 277. Peace.